Grace to you all and peace from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of my colleagues reminded me that the last time I was supposed to be here and preach with you, I made it halfway, got sick, and had to go home. So we had this remarkable experiment where three different pastors read my sermon, each at the different services. And I'll tell you this, I never, ever have received more positive feedback for a sermon in my email inbox, so I come here with some trepidation and an awareness of what the variable factor was, but we'll see how it goes. This chapter, which we heard this morning, this is the Minnesota goodbye of John's gospel. I trust you all know about the Minnesota goodbye, standing at the door for 30 minutes with jackets on, leftovers in hand, saying goodbye 8 times in a phone call. My father is a master of that particular art. All right, goodbye, Dad. Bye now. Hey, did you ever hear anything back about your car? Oh, yeah, Dad, nothing major. Okay, gotta run now. Bye, love you. All right, love you too. Hey, are you and Molly still able to come over for dinner next week? That is chapter 21 of John's Gospel. The previous chapter wraps everything up. It gives us Easter morning and the empty tomb. It gives us the risen Jesus, conversations with Mary and the other disciples, and it gives us this ending. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Boom. Roll credits. That is a closing line if I've ever heard one. How jarring then to turn the page and find a whole other chapter starting. And Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. What? We were done. Did Jim Dixon write this one? So why include that next chapter, that seeming postscript? Well, it has a lot to do with something that happened 3 chapters earlier, back in chapter 18. That's where Peter famously denied Jesus 3 times before the cock crowed at sunrise. Do you remember that scene? Hey, you're one of his disciples, right? And Peter responds, no, I'm not. Really? Aren't you one of his disciples? No, I am not. I could have sworn I saw you with him in the garden. Wasn't me. I don't know him. Now here, in chapter 21, this bonus chapter, overtime, Jesus gives Peter 3 opportunities to affirm his discipleship, to reverse his denial, to confess his love for Jesus. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, you know everything. You know I love you. Some versions of the Bible call this passage the reinstatement of Peter. It's Peter brought back into the community of disciples. Here's the thing. Doesn't that kind of feel like a private conversation? Personal issue for Peter and Jesus? That's between those two. Why is it so important for the rest of us that it's included here in Scripture? And not just included, but forced onto it, shoehorned in. This is the moment when class is done and everyone's leaving and someone raises their hand to ask, wait, wasn't there something you wanted to say to Peter? This is not just about Peter and Jesus. This is for all of us. This is Jesus telling us what it means and what it doesn't mean to be disciples. Notice how Jesus responds to Peter's affirmations. When Peter says, yes, I love you, Lord, Jesus responds, feed my lambs. When he says it again, Jesus replies, tend my sheep. And the 3rd time Peter confesses his love for Jesus, Jesus again commands him, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. I think a lot of us Christians remember it wrong. I think we think it went like this. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Good. Then go tell everybody how you feel about me. Talk about me a lot. Instead, Jesus tells Peter and all of us, if you love me, care for my lambs. Love and serve your neighbors. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Don't tell them how much you love me. Show them what love for me looks like in action. The world will know how much you love me by how you love this world and how you live in it. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what we call the law in the Lutheran tradition. But here's why you do this, and indeed how you do this. You do this because you have experienced something powerful that changes you, and we call that the gospel. Remember the scene in which this conversation between Peter and Jesus takes place. Jesus is sitting on the lakeshore, something we understand very well here. He's tending a fire. He's waiting for his friend. He sees him and calls him over. He cooks him some fish and bread in the coals. He feeds him. And then Jesus calls Peter back into this grace-filled relationship he'd fled in fear. Those campfire experiences are rare, but oh so powerful. Those moments when you realize intimately how much Jesus loves you, how personal that relationship is, that he knows just how your fear and anxiety have led you into darkness, and he knows just how to bring you back into that warm, glowing circle around his fire. And when you feel that love, when you trust in that love, it changes you. How can you hear this gospel of grace and love and peace and go out and share anything else? How can we take the love that God has given us so abundantly and turn it into hate for our neighbor? We can't. Loved people love people. And you are loved. I can't hang up until you hear that one more time. Jesus loves you. And if and when that means something to you, go and share that love as he has commanded you. Amen.